Welcome to the Healthy Pregnancy Revolution. I'm your host, Stephanie Wilson, and today I'm here with Jasmine Alvarez. Pretty Well Beauty, founded by Jasmine Alvarez, a 14-year veteran of the fashion and beauty industry, is the answer to functional and approachable clean and sustainable beauty. Having seen firsthand the direct relationship between the products that you put on your body's largest or an external organ to your vital organs, Jasmine's goal for Pretty Well Beauty is to define and set the highest standards of clean beauty and wellness by partnering with brands that adhere to only the strictest standards of clean and sustainability practices. Additionally, she would like to continue building upon the platform of education when it comes to clean beauty and how that plays into our everyday lives and making it accessible to everyone who seeks a more holistic approach to personal care and well-being. Hi, Jasmine. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. That was amazing. Also, I just wanted to add, I forgot to tell you, I've also created courses for the Institute for Integrative Nutrition for their Detox Your Life program, basically teaching their students about clean beauty.
That's amazing. I've been through that program myself. I'm an IIN grad. Cool. All right. So you often say not all clean beauty is created equal. Could you elaborate more on that for us today?
Yes, absolutely. So I've said all clean beauty is not created equally. And it's because every single brand, every retailer, every individual has their own idea or standard or definition of what clean beauty is. There's no federally regulated body that says this is what clean beauty is and what it is not. It's really up to everyone's own determination. And so because it's kind of like the wild, wild west out there, that means that different brands formulate very differently. Even brands that consider themselves all clean, some are not as clean as others. And some will make certain claims like, formulated with organic ingredients. And the consumer is thinking that that means that it's all of the ingredients are organic, even though they may not all be organic. So there's some sort of trick wording, advertising, marketing that kind of goes into there. And then also when we're talking about formulating clean beauty and it's not created equally, it literally means that, like what brand A does versus brand B in terms of how they secure all of their raw materials, who's securing them, how, and from where. Is it coming from their natural habitat or is it an ingredient that was stolen from someone's natural habitat and then grown elsewhere because of whatever reasons, maybe it being cheaper. The same ingredient grown in different climates are going to give you a completely different output of an ingredient. So it can severely alter its efficacy and benefits that you would even want to have in that ingredient. So when I say all clean beauty is not created equally, that's what I mean. Everyone has their different practices and standards that they go by that work within their individual business models to serve whatever their end goal is, whether it be profitability, exposure, time, what have you. So some brands will take a shorter route, others will take a much longer route, which thus, ends up costing a bit more, but in the end, you're getting a much more higher quality product versus something that's a little bit more mass produced in a sense.
Wow. You really do take it all the way through and through. I've never heard of it being a complication where taking an ingredient out of its natural habitat, natural environment, and putting it somewhere else is even going to change the efficacy. I did not know that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's very common practice. It happens way more than you would think. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. So what should women be looking for in their skincare?
So obviously I would love for women to completely overhaul everything that they're using and replace it with something that is a clean, safe alternative to that. But obviously that's not realistic to just kind of dump everything away all at once. So I always encourage people to go small, start baby steps. It's a journey. It's not about the destination. And so the things that I always recommend that people start with are the things that are going to be spending the longest amount of time on your skin. So we're talking things like your serums, your deodorants, things that you're going to be basically wearing all day. Deodorant is one of the biggest things that I always stress that people start with, just because traditional, conventional antiperspirants are loaded with aluminum, which we all know has links to certain types of cancers, including breast cancers. The information's there on the interwebs. You can see it yourself. Even the Center for Cancer of America Society, they've linked breast cancer to the aluminum found in our deodorants. So the first thing I would say specifically to women is to get rid of that and start transitioning to non-toxic natural deodorants. It is a smelly process, unfortunately. There's no one is exempt from that. But you just have to grit and bear it. Everyone goes through it. I kind of think of it as like a little bit of a rite of passage in a way. And this is actually the perfect time to be doing that kind of transition too, because we're moving into the cooler season of the year where we're not going to sweat as much. So, and then you could also kind of hide a little bit of the funk from some of the layers that you might be wearing as well. I just say start small. But if you were to do one thing today, I would definitely throw away your antiperspirants and start using a natural deodorant. You might have to go through a few to find, you know, the one that works for you. I had to. It's very normal. And then I would also say, if you're a lipstick wearer, if you're wearing your MAC or your other big conventional lipsticks, I would try and swap those out. There have been studies that show that over the course of a woman's lifetime, she will ingest several hundred tons of lipstick. I don't know, pounds of lipstick, because when we're wearing lipstick, we eat it. When we're eating food, when we're drinking, and most conventional lipsticks contain lead in them. And lead is very toxic for humans. We're not supposed to be eating lead, even though lead is a natural element. It's not safe for us. So I would switch to a natural lipstick, and there's a lot of great options on the market. I'm wearing one of my favorite ones right now. It's like my signature color.
That's beautiful. What about armpit detoxes? I've heard of these where you put like a clay mask similar to what I guess we put on our face, but do you think those work? Do they help get that stinky phase gone faster? Or?
They do actually. And one of the brands that I carry at Pretty Well Beauty, their deodorant comes with an underarm detox. It's called an armpit detox, and it's sulfuric. So the sulfuric acid and the sulfur is really what helps to neutralize the odor causing bacteria. And then the clay helps to really draw out those toxins as well. So it helps you get through that gross phase a lot faster. And it's really easy. You could also do, have you ever seen the Mayan Aztec clay that people use on their face? You can buy it anywhere. That also works too. You mix that with a little bit of apple cider vinegar, and you apply that to your underarms, and you let it sit until it dries, and then you rinse it off, and then you go to bed at night. You do this, you know, I think once or twice a week is pretty sufficient, but it definitely does work, because it's helping to draw out all of those impurities, the odor causing bacteria that we don't want to smell like. So, and then eventually, once you get to a good point where you've been doing this routine and you've been using only your natural deodorant, not going back and forth between your antiperspirants and your deodorant, you'll notice, even though you're still sweating, because it obviously doesn't stop you from sweating, but your sweat won't smell like anything. Just smell like nothing.
Especially when paired with a healthy lifestyle and healthy diet as well.
Yeah, what you eat, definitely it comes through with your body odors. So having a clean, healthy diet also helps to eliminate body odor as well. I always say beauty is an inside job. So what we're putting on the inside definitely is a reflection of what's happening on the outside, and vice versa.
What we put on the outside is affecting the inside, even though we don't get to see it.
But we certainly feel it for sure.
So getting off the stinky pits, what about hair detoxes? I've always wondered, like, how does that work? Because our hair is essentially, it's dead, right? But I'm so enthralled actually with My sister did this where she went and after so long of detoxing her hair and getting out all of the cruddy shampoos that we use, I say cruddy, like the typical store brand shoes that or shampoos that layer like chemicals and stuff on our hair. Whenever we really get that off, it changes our hair. What are your thoughts on
hair and what we're doing with it? So hair detoxes are great. I wouldn't use them if you have fragile hair, like very thin.
Okay.
Hair like that or that easily breaks, because the detoxifying products for the hair can be very drying, so it's really important to make sure you, after you've done your detox, you then go in with something that's going to put the moisture back into your hair. But it's great. They're great for removing buildup. It's great for helping to unclog the pores on your scalp that can cause things like dandruff and psoriasis and flaky, itchy scalp. It helps to just clean all of that up. If you're someone who uses a lot of styling products in your hair, it's great because it helps to remove all the stuff that maybe regular shampoo can't do on its own. And think about detoxes for your hair. They're not meant to be used regularly. They're meant to be used maybe once a month, just if as needed. If you're someone who uses a lot of product like I do, it could certainly benefit. But if you're someone who doesn't use a lot of product in their hair, say you're just someone who's got regular straight hair and you can get away with a wash and go, you probably won't need a detox unless you've got some scalp issues. Then you would concentrate it only on your scalp and not throughout the entire length of your strands.
And what do you think when a woman does have scalp issues, you know, dry or itchy, is that primarily something they should focus on with their diet and they need to look into what's causing that, or are there products you'd recommend or just changing their shampoo?
Yeah, it depends on what it is exactly, because all hair scalp issues are not the same. So if you've got dandruff or if you've got eczema, psoriasis, it's going to be different. Some of them are autoimmune caused, autoimmune issues. Others could be just, you know, product buildup overload. Other things could just be you're using the wrong products and it's drying out the skin on your scalp. So it could be a number of factors. It's really kind of, you have to almost do your own process of elimination, unfortunately, or have a one-on-one consultation with a dermatologist or someone like myself who can, you know, help you figure out what the protocol could possibly be. But yeah, it could be a number of things. It could also be hereditary too. There's just so many different factors that kind of go into it. And our scalp is really an extension of our skin on our face. It is skin there. And it's one of the most neglected skin areas of our entire body because it's covered by hair. So most of us will just kind of, you know, just wash our hair, use some conditioner, style and go. They don't really think about proper scalp care and what that could look like. And there are really great products on the market that are specifically for caring for your scalp that will help to, produce healthy strands, help with follicular growth, help with stimulating blood flow into the scalp. If you're someone who wants fuller, thicker hair, that's something that's really, really important. And it's really hard for your hair to be able to grow optimally if you're having scalp issues. So if you're someone who has any of those issues, you definitely want to take a look at the different areas, look at what you're eating. If it's something that could be possibly an autoimmune thing that could be triggered by stress, if it's something that's genetic, if it's the products that you're using, just kind of look at each of these different elements one by one. But there are definitely solutions for all of them.
That's really good advice. Yeah. So how do you compare what we put on our skin to what we put in our bodies? We put so much emphasis on the nutrition of our food. Would you elaborate on how important it is what we're putting on our skin?
Well, yes, it's very important. You know, our skin is our biggest organ, so it has the ability to absorb up to 60% of what we put onto it, which goes into our bloodstream, which then affects all of our vital organs. So it's very, very important. What you put on your skin, I would say, is almost as important as what you put into your body. I don't think that the two are mutually exclusive. I always find it really weird when you meet someone who has this really clean, strict diet, but they're going out and they're buying these conventional skincare products that are made with all these harsh chemicals. And it's like, do you not understand the connection between the two? And I've also seen the opposite too. I've seen people who spend copious amounts of time and money and effort buying the best natural skincare products, but then they're going and they're eating crap all the time. So it's about finding a balance. Nothing is ever going to be perfect. I'm not saying that you need to live a 100% clean existence, because that's really no fun. I think that you should allow yourself some indulgences here and there, you know, now and again, within reason. But yeah, they work together to create cohesive harmony, because like we said, what we put on the inside, it shows up on the outside, and vice versa. What we're putting on our skin will affect what's going on inside of our bodies. It may not happen overnight. It may not happen in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. It could happen 30 years from now. And you just realize, oh my God, this is from years, decades of me doing this thing to my stuff, to my skin, not just to my skin, but my hair too. Our hair, even though it's dead, it's still absorbs, it has like a way to absorb into our system. You know, there's DNA in our hair.
I'm not sure I knew that. That's interesting. Yeah.
There's DNA in our hair, and it can affect things like our fertility. It can affect what we transfer on to our unborn children. Even the eggs that we have in our uterus, not our uterus, but in our, wherever the eggs are stored in our reproductive system, all of that stuff is affected by what we put on our skin and what we eat. It's all connected.
So whenever we go into the grocery store, of course, we can look at a nutrition label and know we need to avoid that ingredient or this ingredient. How does a woman know when she's looking for something? I know there are lists on some of these items, but how does she know? What should she avoid?
For skincare or beauty products?
For what we're putting on our skin.
Well, I mean, there's a lot that you should be avoiding. I would say the biggest red flags that are the most common things that would be a red flag for anybody who's just starting and they don't really understand what a lot of these long words mean. And just sidebar, just because it's like a super long word that maybe you can't pronounce doesn't mean that it's necessarily doesn't necessarily mean that it's toxic or that it's not natural. A lot of the times, if not most of the times, brands use the Latin root word of these ingredients, these natural ingredients. And so it might look like this long scientific, sciencey looking word, but it really is something that's totally safe. But I would say the top ones that this is a red flag. If you see these ingredients, definitely do not buy it. If you see the word perfume, fragrance, parfum, stay away. Because fragrance is not just one ingredient. It is a collection of anywhere between 100 to thousands of synthetic chemicals to give you this particular scent that the brand is trying to mask the actual odor of the product. So, and these synthetic ingredients are known to be endocrine disruptors. So if you see this word fragrance, perfume, parfum, stay away from it. Another one I would stay away from, particularly for everyone who's tuning into this, is phenoxethanol. Phenoxethanol was once considered safe within even the clean community, but there have been studies that have come out in the last 2-3 years that have linked it to delayed fertility, as well as neurotoxicity in infants. So I would stay away from that ingredient for sure. What else? Obviously, aluminum, anything with any sort of aluminum dioxide, aluminum compounds, I would stay away from. Anything with heavy metals, mercury, things like that. Aluminum is also a heavy metal. Lead is also a heavy metal. I would also stay away from anything that has any sort of artificial colorants and dyes to it. So if you see those, definitely stay away from those. Most of the time, unless it's a makeup product, it's not absolutely necessary. It serves no benefit to you to have your hair shampoos or facial creams to have synthetic color in it, or color even in general. It serves no purpose other than it looking pretty inside of a bottle. And even though this is not an ingredient per se, I will say if you're buying anything that's oil-based, do not buy it in any container that is plastic, because plastic and oil are not compatible. Anything that's oil-based that's in plastic packaging, the plastic particles have the ability to actually leach into the oils, which means that you're going to be essentially putting plastic on your skin.
Ew, yucky.
Yes, very yucky.
That is really, really good points. I appreciate you sharing all of that. I'd take some notes myself. So there seem to be a lot of fancy devices out on the market now as well. Are there any specific devices that you like to use yourself, that you promote, that are safe? Are they not safe?
Yeah, I mean, devices, as long as you're using them according to their manufacturer's instructions, you should be okay. I personally don't really use devices. I've used them in the past just because I was curious and I wanted to experiment. I've tried the New Face. It's like that the toning tool that has like the two little silver knobs, and you just like that. I like the routine of it. I don't know if I necessarily saw any results per se, but my skin's pretty tight. It's, you know, I don't have old skin yet, so I don't know if maybe I'm the right person to really see results from that, but it felt nice. I liked the ritual of it. I felt like I was doing something good for myself. Other tools that I love the Guasa tools. Those are just classic Eastern medicine tools, but you really have to understand and make sure you're using them properly in order for them to actually do their job. And there's a ton of videos on YouTube. I like to watch the one from Lanshan, also from this woman who I know, her name is Julie. She is a shamanic facialist, and she really incorporates a lot of Guasa into her facials that she does. So she's based in Los Angeles. And that's actually her technique is how I learned how to use it. And so we sell at Pretty Well Beauty some, but we're phasing them out just because me not being a member of the Asian community, I didn't feel like it was appropriate for me to be selling them, because I'm also not a TCM practitioner either. So it no longer felt authentic for me to be able to take this very deeply culturally rooted practice that belongs to Asian culture and try to make money off of it. It just doesn't feel good for me to do that. So we have like two sets left, and then we're sold out. But they're amazing. They're the best ones I've seen in the market. So
does cupping fall under that? I actually just had a cupping facial the other day for the first time. Ooh. Is that part of the Gua Sha technique, or is that kind of a separate?
No, it is a TCM practice, traditional Chinese medicine practice, but it's very different from Gua Sha. Like Gua Sha, you're moving the lymphatic drainage, you're moving your lymphatic, and you're lifting your tightening, toning muscles. Cupping is more about blood. It's about different blood, you know, through like different points on your face or on your body. It brings it to more to the surface. So it's a completely different thing. They do completely different things, but both wonderful. I've never had cupping facial, but I've done cupping on my back in conjunction with acupuncture, and that felt amazing.
You said like a cupping facial. It was wild.
I've heard of it. Yeah, I definitely would love to experience that one day.
So what about red light therapy? I know that maybe not doesn't fall under beauty particularly. What's your thoughts on the red light therapy that we should?
Yeah, I think red light, I think all like light therapies are good. They all serve a different purpose. I believe red is for building collagen and helping to smooth out fine lines. And then you have other colors that are good for acne and discoloration. And then you have others that are more for just kind of like overall luminosity. But no, they, I like them. I've experienced them. I haven't been consistent with any of them. But I think with all of these things, skincare, the tools, the light therapies, if you want to see results, you have to be consistent with whatever modality you're using. But there's benefits to all of them, and I've tried all of them and I enjoy them. Yeah.
All right. So we need to swap out our deodorants first thing. And then we need to follow up with serums or lotions that are staying on the longest. Is that your advice?
Yeah. So if you're deciding, okay, like I can buy three things, I would start with the things that are going to be spending the most time on your skin first. Like, and don't go and splurge on like a facial cleanser. You don't have to do that. It's only staying on your face for 30 seconds. You can save your coins. And if you want to splurge on the things that are going to be spending more time on your face, like I said, like your serums, your moisturizers, your eye creams, things like that. The things that are just kind of going on and off really quickly, you can get away with, you know, not splurging so much on that. So
that's a really good point. Yeah. So what about when baby is born? What should we be looking for to put on baby's precious brand new skin?
Yes. So their skin is so fresh and so new. It's prone to dehydration way faster than adults. So you definitely want to make sure that you are applying a really good, clean, unscented baby lotion, baby cream to baby from head to toe after every single bath. It's also really great. Studies have shown that when you incorporate a bit of massage into it, it really helps with the baby's nervous system, helps with their flexibility and dexterity as well. And it's also a really great bonding moment between mom and baby too, or dad and baby. And it also helps to calm them for bedtime for nap time to give them sleep. You also want to make sure that you're using cleansing products that are going to be gentle, that don't have a lot of harsh ingredients, and then definitely fragrance free again. One thing I will note too, if you're having a baby boy, try not to use anything with lavender in it. I learned that lavender with boys actually alters their hormones in a negative way. It actually decreases their testosterone levels. So that's just a little sidebar. Whenever you're using for a baby, I would recommend going with anything that is the most gentle without any fragrance, as minimal of ingredients as possible. Things that are rich with butters, like your shea butters, avocado oils, mango butters, things that are going to be able to keep their skin really supple and hydrated throughout the entire day. So it doesn't dry out. And then also making sure you have something for their butt for when they're doing your diaper changing, because that can be very, you know, it's an area where they can get rashes a lot easier because it's a more moist, damp area when they've gone to the bathroom. So being diligent with making sure that that area stays dry and clean. Thank God Johnson & Johnson has recalled their baby powders. If anyone was ever thinking about using them, and don't do it. I would try and use things more with like cornstarch or things a little bit gentler than your traditional baking sodas. And just also make sure you're just paying very close attention to any sort of reactions that they have, just to make sure that there's no allergies. You might even want to do some patch testing to make sure that there's no allergies. And those would be my best tips for caring for baby's skin.
I love it. That lavender with boys. I had no idea. That's a really good tidbit there.
Yeah. I just found it years ago.
Speaking of the lavender, and you've mentioned, you know, not to do anything scented with kiddos. And also we want to avoid the perfumes that we're seeing in our own products. What about essential oils? Is that something that reads differently on the label, or how do we know if something's scented in a safe way? Is that possible?
Yes, it is possible. So some brands will list the word perfume or fragrance, but then they'll have an asterisk next to it and it'll say derived from natural ingredients or plant-based something that tells you, it gives you an indication that this fragrance isn't synthetic and it's made from some probably essential oils, most likely. Essential oils are very common to use in natural skincare products because it helps with giving a beautiful, you know, scent to the product, because natural ingredients and natural formulations, oftentimes, not always, oftentimes what you're smelling, if there's no fragrance in it, is the true raw smell. And it may not always be what we like, because we're used to these heavily perfumed things from using all these conventional products for so long. And we're used to smelling something that smells like the summer breeze or whatever, whatever that smells like, manufactured in a lab. Whereas when you move over to something that's natural and it's completely unscented, it may not be something that your nose will like right away. It's something you do get used to, and it doesn't linger. But if you're someone that you just need to know that something smells good, there are plenty of options that have safe ingredients like essential oils. And essential oils, even though they are natural, some people do have aversions to them. So making sure that you know if you have any allergies or if you're prone to any sort of reactions to essential oils, because again, essential oils, they are not created equally either. The extraction process varies from brand to brand. Some use a distillation process using steam, others use water. It gives you a completely different product. And unfortunately, unless you're someone like myself who has direct contact and intimate relationships with the people behind these brands to find out what that process is, there's no way the consumer would know. They'll just see, oh, there's essential oils in it, and they won't know what the quality of that essential oil is or how it was extracted.
Yep, absolutely. I'm so glad you made that point. So what would be the first thing you'd advise a woman to do who plans on conceiving in the coming months?
Well, I would really do everything that you can to take care of your body, yourself, inside and out. Since we're mostly focusing on our skin, I would start the process of really cleaning up what you're using. So taking inventory of the products that you're using, look at those ingredient labels. I would encourage you to really start getting in the habit of reading everything that you buy that's going to be touching your skin or going inside of your body. Not only for yourself, but also for your future babies. The more you look at ingredient labels, the more familiar you're going to become with these ingredients. And it's not going to seem so foreign to you. We have on our website, a section on the website called the Aware List. And this is a list that I would encourage anyone to go and take a look at. These are the ingredients that I tell people to be aware of, to stay away from. So if you see any ingredient that's on our aware list, Pretty Well Beauty has the strictest list of ingredients out of all the clean beauty spaces of what we don't allow within the brands that we carry. So that's a really great place to start. So if you see anything that's from the aware list on any of the ingredient lists of the products that you're buying, definitely don't buy it. And yeah, like I said, start small. You can start with one area at a time. If you want to focus, okay, I'm just going to clean up all of my skincare first, get that together. I would also focus on things for your body too, getting that together, removing any products from your home that have any bad, toxic, potentially hazardous ingredients in them. And even though this isn't necessarily like a skincare problem, but I would also do the same thing for all of your household cleaning supplies too. Really going through all those things. There's so many great natural alternatives on the market for cleaning your home. And everything around us has the potential to either help create and promote health or completely deplete it. It's really just up to you what you decide. And I think that it's never too late to start this process, but if you are thinking about conceiving, I would try and start this process as soon as possible. Just getting rid of anything that could potentially be an endocrine disruptor, because for your hormonal health is going to be a huge factor in your conception process. So making sure you're not using any products that have any potential endocrine disrupting ingredients in them. And I list a lot of them on our website. So if you click on any one ingredient, there's a little drop box that tells you like what the potential hazards are and what kind of products you can commonly find them in, what the purpose of that ingredient is. I would also recommend, and you guys are probably going to hate this, stop going to the nail salon and getting your nails done. It is, that's the hardest one for a lot of people. And it sucks. Like I love going to get my nails done. I haven't worn nail polish in years. There's the fumes in these nail salons are so incredibly unsafe and untoxic and very toxic. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to create life, you do not want to be sitting in toxic environments like that, inhaling fumes from nail polish and from whatever other chemicals that they're using for people. Start getting familiar with doing at-home treatments for yourself. If you can get away from not wearing nail polish, period, there's so many great brands on the market that have these incredible like nail stickers that actually last a long time. And they're completely non-toxic and they're fun. You can get nail art, you can get solid colors, things like that. But I'm sorry, I wouldn't do that. One thing I've been asked often, like, what is your favorite non-toxic nail polish? It doesn't exist. So there's no such thing.
I knew that.
There's no such thing.
Call them out. I love it.
I even wrote a book about it. The thing is, nail polish is actually a byproduct of the car painting industry. So when cars were being painted with this, with this veneer, this lacquer, someone discovered that it sticks to your nails and they decided to make it into a product, a nail polish. And it's obviously become like, I don't know how big of an industry, probably $1 trillion industry at this point, but that's where that came from. There's nothing in nature that will allow something like that to just stick to your skin and not wash off with water. There's a chemical in there that has to have that component to have that kind of reaction. So are there safer alternatives? Absolutely. You know, I think the biggest one I've heard, I think, is maybe 12 free, where it eliminates the top 12 most harmful ingredients in traditional nail polishes. But still, at the end of the day, there needs to be a chemical or chemicals in there for you to have a nail polish not wash off of your nails from running them underwater. So I would definitely try and minimize that as much as possible. If you are someone who is using chemical relaxers in your hair, I would stop doing that. That has been something that has been linked to things like infertility as well as fibroids. So I would definitely stop chemically straightening hair. And I would just start thinking of just do whatever feels good and make yourself feel like the goddess that you are. Spend time with yourself, even if it's just one day a week, to really just close a door, light a candle, and just do a beautiful ritual where you're bathing and you're massaging your body with a beautiful oil and you are listening to some beautiful music that calms you. The best time for you to be pregnant is when you're not stressed out. And so whatever you can do to make sure that you are keeping your nervous system at bay and doing things that are going to make you feel good and not feel stressed out. You can just find some time to shut all of that out, shut all that noise out, and dedicate some time for yourself to center yourself, incorporate a meditation into your practice, even if it's just, 3 minutes of breathing exercises. That will help. It will definitely help. And just using the safest, cleanest products that you could possibly find. Obviously, I think they're all at Pretty Well Beauty. But if there's something on the market that's not at Pretty Well Beauty, make sure that you do your research, look at the ingredients, look at the people who's behind the brand. What are the values of the brand? Do they have a mission? Really start to become more aware. I think when you become more conscious of the things that you're consuming, the relationship that you have with the things that you're buying is going to amplify energetically. And that's going to only help translate into what you're trying to achieve, which is creating the most wonderful thing, which is a new life.
Wow, that's beautifully said. And it led me right into what I was going to say, that for anyone looking for clean beauty, you sell and support all of the brands that have the most strict rules and regulations and absolutely have the cleanest products out there. And along with your Be Aware list, I think everyone needs to head on over to your website and get familiar with those ingredients that they should be aware of.
Yeah, definitely. And we also offer a service called the Clean Beauty Edit, which is something that people do one-on-one with me, where I do a complete audit of all the products that you're using. And I analyze all of the ingredients as well as the packaging. And then I send you a list of all of the products that you own that I think you are okay to continue using, and the ones that I think you should probably replace. And then the ones that I think you should replace, I'll give you suggestions of products that will be a good alternative for you. So I do all the heavy lifting for you.
That's a wonderful service. Awesome. So everyone can find you at prettywellbeauty.com. Is that right?
That is correct.
And Instagram, Facebook, we'll have everything linked below. You're also sharing with them a PDF on the top 10 clean beauty swaps that they could easily start working on regardless of where they are in their pregnancy journey. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I'm going to toss in the PDF of the aware list as well.
The aware list as well. Okay, great. I'll link to those right below. Thank you so much, Jasmine. This has been wonderful chatting with you today.
Thank you. This was so fun.